This week marks a milestone in Ukraine and could see the resolution of a controversial debate over citizenship in India. Those are among the biggest stories on the international stage in the coming days. And with me for our weekly look at some of them is the BBC's Rob Hugh Jones. And Rob, let's start in Ukraine, where this Thursday we'll see the first sitting of that country's new parliament. Why is that significant?
Well, Mark, Ukraine, population 45 million, is such a fascinating country, isn't it? It gained independence from the Soviet Union nearly 30 years ago and has since veered between seeking closer integration with Western Europe on the one hand and being drawn into Russia's orbit on the other. So it's kind of being tugged by the West, tugged by the East at the same time. And that tension prevails to this day. So this past weekend, even, Russia's leader Vladimir Putin was not invited to the G7 summit in France, in large part because of Ukraine, and in particular Russia's annexation of Crimea 5 years ago, which the G7 did not like. And of course, Russian separatists are also involved in the ongoing war in the east of Ukraine right now. So against that backdrop, we are looking ahead this week to the 100th day of the new Ukrainian president, Volodymyr Zelensky, and the first sitting of his country's new parliament.
Rob, you mentioned the new president. He's the one who's a comedian, right?
Yes, some might say there are quite a few comedians on the world stage at the moment. But he really is. He's the real thing. Mr. Zelensky was the star of a popular TV program about a political novice, a comedian, who became president. And the new parliament, which will sit for the first time this week, as we've mentioned, really is new. Around three quarters of the members have never held public office before. They are where they are because Mr. Zelensky called a snap election when he came to power, which gave his party a clear majority. There is great hope that Ukraine, under the new leader and the new parliament, can finally undo some of the endemic corruption that has been plaguing that country. One of the parliament's first acts could be to strip its own members of immunity from prosecution. But the other big elephant in the room, as mentioned, is Russia. Mr. Zelensky has a mandate for ending the war with Russia and its proxies in the east. But at the same time, Ukrainian public opinion wants to win that war with no concessions to Russia. And by the way, that's a war that's claimed some 13,000 lives already. Right now, the fighting is at a stalemate, and it's unclear how Mr. Zelensky will bring the war to a close. So you can see, Mark, there are some really big challenges, war and corruption among them, for Ukraine's new leader and its parliament, which sits for the first time this coming week.
Indeed. So, Rob, on Wednesday, the result of a major conference on endangered species, what has been on the agenda for discussion there?
Yes, well, we'll be watching for the final results of what's called the CITES meeting in Switzerland this week. CITES is the Convention on the International Trade in Endangered Species, basically an international framework for what animals are considered endangered and how and whether countries can trade their meat. So the CITES list is seen as the most important guide for how the international community controls the preservation of endangered species. While inclusion on the list certainly doesn't mean that it's impossible to poach animals, it certainly controls the legal trade in animal parts. Some say that adding elephants to the list in previous decades, for instance, has slowed their decline. Now, we know a bit about what's being discussed at this conference. We're expecting new restrictions on the trade of shark meat, for instance, and for the first time, a restriction on the trade of giraffes, which have seen a marked decline in the wild in the last decade.
And Rob, there's also been a debate about elephant tusks.
Yes, there was a push at the meeting from a few southern African countries to allow the sale of stockpiled ivory as a way to raise much-needed funds for elephant conservation. At least 50 elephants are killed a day for their ivory by poachers, and these countries, for various reasons, have a stockpile of ivory just sitting in storehouses. So they argue that selling that ivory would raise much-needed money, meet the market demand for ivory tusks, and reduce the demand for poached ivory. But the convention's come down hard against that proposal, with the rest of the African nations saying there should be no legal trade in ivory at all.
All right, Rob, let's finally talk about India, where a major decision is coming in regards to who and who is not a citizen. What's going on there?
Yeah, this is an interesting one, Mark. It's called the National Register of Citizens, and it's being updated for the first time since 1951. The authorities in one Indian state have told the people who live there that they need to prove they're citizens and that they were in India before midnight on March the 24th, 1971, or descended from people who were. So if you can't prove that, you'll be left off the list, and that means you could become stateless and even be deported from the country. And it's thought that up to 4 million people could fail to make it onto that list.
Rob, you mentioned that date in 1971 as a cutoff. What's the significance of that date?
Well, it's the date that what was called East Pakistan became a new country called Bangladesh. And at the time, violence in that territory forced many people to flee across the border into India. Well, now, 50 years on, India wants to know who remained in India instead of returning to Bangladesh. But, Mark, there's another edge to this story. Many of the people concerned are Muslim, and the ruling BJP party in India considers its country a Hindu nation. India may have the largest population, Muslim population, of any country in the world, but critics say this citizenship process is part of an effort to remove Muslims from public life. They point to history books being rewritten to reduce Muslim contributions to Indian society, for example, and to the recent announcement you may have heard of that Muslim-majority Kashmir will lose its special status under the Indian constitution. So as you can see, Mark, it's all controversial, and we'll be looking out for that this week as well.
All right. That is the BBC's Rob Hugh-Jones. Rob, as always, good to talk to you. Thank you.
Good to talk to you, Mark. Thank you.